Welcome to the SEI podcast series, a production of Carnegie Mellon University's Software Engineering Institute. The SEI is a federally funded research and development center sponsored by the Department of Defense and operated at Carnegie Mellon University. A transcript of today's podcast is posted on the SEI website at sei.cmu.edu/podcasts. My name is Eileen Rubel, and I'm the initiative lead for the Agile and Government practice here at the Software Engineering Institute. Joining me today is Bobby Stempfli, who in June of 2017 was appointed the director of the SEI's CERT division. Welcome, Bobby. Thanks for joining me.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So let's start off by having you tell us just a little bit about yourself and your experiences before joining the SEI and being appointed director of the CERT division.
Yeah, absolutely. I came here to the CERT division after having spent 23 years as a federal employee working in a variety of jobs for the Defense Department and the Department of Homeland Security, largely in the application of information technology to national security missions, improving efficiency in warfighting and understanding government risk transformation kinds of activities. And over that entire time period, 17 years in the Defense Department and 5 years at the Department of Homeland Security, I kept coming in and out of security, of computer security, as a part of that set of responsibilities. And so it was, it's been a great set of experiences in how to solve problems at scale and understand the application of technology to really changing the way we do things in the world. And then I left and came to federally funded research and development centers because what I wanted to do was really get back involved into the how things happen and really focus on not just adoption-oriented actions, but on actually solving the problems before they appear.
And transitioning them into
Absolutely.
Application.
Okay. Absolutely.
So you had a really broad and deep set of experiences at both the DoD and the Department of Homeland Security. How does that shape or enrich your perspective now as the director of CERT?
It's a really good question. I've been thinking a lot about it because at the Department of Homeland Security, I was the senior civilian over the office responsible for critical infrastructure cybersecurity and for federal executive branch cybersecurity. In the Defense Department, I had a range of roles, everything from standing up the first ever Department of Defense-wide computer CERT, to being the Chief Information Officer and Chief Risk Official for DoD-wide applications. The things I learned there that are really informative here are that the most technically elegant answer is not always the easiest one to actually implement. And that we neither are going to engineer our way out of these problems, nor are we going to buy our way out of these problems. We have to really have a holistic approach to solving so many of the challenges that we face today. And when you add the scale to the complexity to the speed, we really have to think more deeply and strategically about where and how to engage. And so bringing that here is really interesting because the Software Engineering Institute is this gem for the nation that sits here at, you know, the number one computer science school. And software is a truly strategic asset for not just the Defense Department and national security, but for our economic viability and economic security. But we are not hundreds of thousands of people. Right? And so we really have to think a lot about where we strategically engage, what challenges are the ones that are best for us to take on, and which are the challenges that are one step ahead of everybody else in this in the world that we operate in.
Okay, great. When you were appointed in June of 2017, Paul Nielsen, our director and CEO, said that there's never been a greater need to address the persistent and growing cybersecurity risks that threaten the nation's defense, homeland security, and intelligence communities. Let's talk a little bit about
the fact that
and how the research that's happening in the CERT division is addressing them.
Yeah, so that statement is really unbounded, isn't it, right?
Right.
Cybersecurity is hugely important, and it's important to everything, and
right.
it's all moving faster and getting worse. And so while I agree that the challenges we're facing today are different in a lot of ways than the challenges we faced over the last couple of decades, one of the things that I see today that I didn't decades ago was a real appreciation of the importance of focusing on assurance as a part of the development, implementation, architectural kinds of activities. So I try to simplify what adversaries are going after. We complexify everything, and so I try to simplify. Our adversaries are going after a small set of things. They're going after design trades we make. So we build systems and architect them, and there's never enough time, money, power, you know, resources, whatever it is, and we make design trades. And adversaries are looking at that. What opportunity does that create? They're looking at failures in implementation. So we understand these as vulnerabilities in today's world. Something didn't get built quite the way you thought it would.
Right, and you can exploit that vulnerability.
You can exploit that vulnerability. They're looking at our tunnel vision and use cases. We think technology is going to do one thing. We build it for something. We might test edge cases. But the thing I learned about working with 18-year-old sailors in particular is they use this stuff in ways you never imagined. And so adversaries are looking for that. And then the last thing they're really looking at is the seams between efforts and activities, right? So we know these as things called race conditions or side channel related activities. So two pieces of software operate, they exchange data between each other, that's a seam. Or one chip might run at a particular speed, another chip runs at a different speed, that creates an environment that you didn't expect in that. Our systems are so complex today that there are lots of these seams. And so if you break it down that way, it really helps you focus on the things that you need to fix, right? You're not chasing every vulnerability. You're chasing, how do I build things better? So how do we work with the agile concepts you have with bringing security into secure development related activities? How do we build secure concepts for coding itself? So, you know, how do we reduce the implementation risks that exist in that space? How do we help operators understand what their roles are in the environment, both from a defensive, and so that they can play the hardest games in the scrimmage than they play in space? How do we understand that risk, that overall enterprise risk-related effort, so we have continuity of practice, completeness of practice, and efficacy of practice in so many of these areas? And then how do we really focus on simplification as often as possible? And then how are we available to catch when things go wrong? Right, so we still have that practice of analyzing malware and looking at vulnerabilities so that we can speed up the distribution of the things that we know are wrong so others can put protections in place.
Okay, so I'm going to take us back a little bit to what you said about software being an asset, being a strategic asset. One of the things that I talk about a lot in our work is that software is a strategic asset, and so the workforce that develops it needs to also be treated as a strategic asset.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what role do you think, what role is CERT's workforce development activity, what role are you playing in mitigating the growing cybersecurity threat?
Yeah, so I'm actually going to take this in two ways, because the question and the setup are two different things here.
Okay.
I agree with you. Software is a strategic asset, and the workforce that develops it has to be a strategic asset. And that workforce has to have tools and understanding about the role that they play, right? That it's not just building Candy Crush and putting it out on the App Store. They're actually building fly-by-code kinds of pieces of software for airplanes, cars, and other pieces. And so one of the things that we do in the CERT division is produce secure coding practice guides, right? We try to help that strategic workforce of the world understand not just their role, but have tools to do their jobs more effectively and to sort of offset those adversarial use cases I talked about earlier. And so that's an important transition opportunity for a lot of the work we do. How do we do research, we find an answer that will scale, and then we promote that answer through training or through document standards or other mechanisms for the broader community. And that helps reduce the implementation risks that come along, right? So we're sort of reducing the problem from the beginning as much as possible. Then the other part that we do is we really focus on workforce development for the cyber workforce, for those defenders and administrators that are in the national security space that need to understand how to do their job. And so we spend a lot of time building content for that community specifically, because it's you have to tackle both, right? You have to both have folks who can build the software better, and recognizing that the adversary is always going to find a way, we have to understand how to be successful with that workforce as well.
Okay, great, thanks. So going forward, what do you see as some of the most significant challenges that that the nation faces in software and cybersecurity, and what should we be doing now to address those? And dig into your crystal ball a little bit.
Yeah. So really great question. The first one ties back to your comment about the workforce being a strategic asset. We do not have enough people specifically in the cybersecurity workforce, but writ large, right? We've talked about the national challenge of STEM in STEM-related activities. And so if software, if you agree with the premise that software is a strategic asset, and it is not just has it eaten the world, it is driving the world forward, we have to have people who understand that. And it's not everybody, but it's certainly more than what we have today. And I think that's a really important challenge area that we've got to take on, and one that we're certainly Carnegie Mellon is focused on solving. But we have what I think about as high velocity software production. So large volumes of software produced much more quickly, put in the hands of users more quickly to get feedback. All of this is really powerful, incredibly powerful, but it changes the dynamic for the adversarial environment. And so, what does that mean as you're thinking about risk and as you're thinking about adoption? There is this idea that security is the department of no. And so, or I call it the big security 180, which is where programs work with their security teams right up till the end, and they think they're in a good place, and then all of a sudden the security team says, oop, sorry, you are not good enough. You've got to go back to the beginning. And so we really have to think about what that looks like today and going forward. And so I think that's one of the challenges that we're taking on here. And then the final one is we're in this very interesting world of machine learning and artificial intelligence where we have so much data and not enough data at the same time, right? It's this crazy paradox that's there. But we have to build those machine learning algorithms correctly and with as few flaws as possible. We have to understand how they're going to operate in a way that ensures that they're not taking on an adversarial mindset as a part of it. We have to understand that they're operating in a contested space, and so how do they stay secure, and then how do we really think about understanding and assuring where they're going to go over time, because they're going to evolve, and so I think those are really the challenges we're really excited to be taking on here.
So it's an exciting time to be at CERT, and it looks like there's lots of great problems to be exploring over the next several years.
Wicked problems, I think we'd call them.
Thank you so much for joining me to talk about this today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's been great.
Great. This podcast is available on the SEI website at sei.cmu.edu/podcasts and on Carnegie Mellon University's iTunes site and the SEI's YouTube channel. As always, please feel free to reach out to us with any questions you have at info@sei.cmu.edu. Thank you.